All right, we are here, Aunt. And now, this is the time, Vart. You write the seminar with us. All right, so, we have questions?
Yes, yes, indeed, we have questions. The sound is on, but first I want to... we got a comment from David. I just want you to know about that. And he said that The 4-Hour Workweek is a book by Tim Ferriss, F-E-R-R-I-S.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Very good.
Here's one from Steve. If several channels are open for money, but one channel seems very closed, how do you open up and make this closed channel abundant?
Oh, all right. Well, lucky you, Steve, that you have multiple channels all, you know, open and multiple channels bringing in money. That's fantastic. Well, you may want to understand why and look at why this one channel is closed. It may be that you don't have enough energy after you deal with all the other ones that's left over for it. That might be one reason. Another reason may be that... somehow you're not in alignment with that channel. There's some kind of internal resistance or internal objection about it, or that you have some kind of hidden agenda about it. There's some kind of hesitation that's in the subconscious, one of those habits and or old patterns or something like that. Maybe it's that you feel, oh my gosh, you know, there's only so much success, so much I can receive, and I can't go over that receiving. And it seems these other channels have filled up my receiving bucket, and I don't have any more room. So if it were in that case, of course, you'd want to expand your image some more and do that. But overall, what we would suggest is that if that channel is not bringing in any income, perhaps you're creating some charge on that channel. You're making it more important than it should be, or you're spending more time worrying about it. We would recommend that the channels that you have open just get more into enjoying those and making them the most fun and getting all a blast with the channels that are already open and just playing with them and so on. And then also just asking your guides, asking your spiritual team, asking them to show you what it is that's in the way of this one channel. It may be that that channel is the channel that is the most important to you, or it's a channel that you really want to see most successful, and you're puzzled because these other channels you don't seem to have it. They're not quite as interesting. They're good, but boy, this channel that's closed is really the hot one, is the great one. And that might mean, of course, that you've put too much significance on it, too much weight on it. And in this first seminar, we talked about that when you do that with money, it just stops the flow. You know, if that means too much, then money is an illusion. It's not really essentially filled with meaning. You have to give meaning to things, and money doesn't really have meaning. But if money coming through that channel would mean something very significant or important to you, then, of course, then you have a charge on it. Then you have an issue, and maybe your ego gets involved in it. And, of course, the ego tends to sabotage any channel that you get too involved with. But one of the things that we suggest is, and why we suggest having fun with the channels that are open, is because if you were not to have the charge on that channel, if you weren't concerned about that channel, if that channel starts going just fine, you might find another channel blocking up. And so the point is that if you have charge on that channel, it's not going to open up too well. So you want to take the charge off. And if you take the charge off the channel by focusing elsewhere and having fun. Now, don't put the charge on another channel. Don't make something else more significant. I have four channels. All right, I'm going to make, and the fourth channel is just not coming through. Okay, I'm going to go to channel number two, and I'm really going to focus on that and make, I'm really going to make that big. Well, now you're going to be in trouble again, right? You're going to blow the energies. Because as soon as you get worried about anything or you put excessive focus on it, you go into scarcity consciousness, right? So keep out of scarcity consciousness. Just realize you're abundant. Get into more and more gratitude. And if a little dribble comes through that channel, just that little channel, that channel four that doesn't generally tend to bring anything. Oh, okay, just a little dribble comes through. Oh, thank you, all right. And just go and have fun. Have fun with the other channels. Be playing around with them. If you can get, three out of four channels going, you're fine. You're really good. This is pretty awesome. Now, a lot of people will think that they have to focus on problems. You're trained to think on problems. And you're trained to problem solve. And generally, big corporations will hire people, consultants at huge salaries to problem solve. But what those consultants really do, they are not problem solvers. They really don't focus on the problems. They create a new vision. And so that in the course of focusing on a new vision, you go beyond the problem to beyond the solution, even to a new way. And so we want to suggest that you play around with that idea instead of focusing on what you're missing. Focus on what you're getting and expand that. It's like if you ask for 10 things and you get 9 of them, where do you put your attention? You tend to put your attention on the 10th thing that you didn't get. It's like, well, why am I not getting that? Just be happy and deliriously joyous that you're having fun with multiple channels already. And so just have a really great time with that and just take all the charge off and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll come in and let it come in time. Expect it to know that all is well, all is going according to plan, and it will come in time. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So this is from Val. Hi, Galexis. Thanks for your loving support. She writes her question via email before the seminar. I have 6 avenues for money. Except for the education funds for my son, all avenues are feeling stagnant for many years. I need them to move and flow. How do I do that work? The housing market is rocking in Ottawa, but my area is not getting the incredible demand and prices. My website is hidden in pages of Google. My gold mining stocks are not doing anything. My tech stocks are flat. Salary up one level, have done work to get into 2 new positions, and it is like I'm being ignored. It feels like the consciousness around money is not seeing me anymore as a single mom. I have done the work to change identity and other workings. I still have to do the magical ritual from last seminar. Anyway, how do I create them being seen?
All right. Well, if it seems like your channels are just kind of disappearing and nobody gets it and so on, this means that your relationship with the egregor is not very good. It means that you're not visible, that you are not allowing yourself to be seen, and that you're not allowing the egregor to see you. And as we were saying earlier, you need to really expand your value, your sense of value, your sense of deserving, and your willingness. And you have to practice holding your resonance up there and keeping it up there, because, of course, you have work and you go to your work and you have a salary and all that kind of thing in your work. And so that'd be the place to start, is being able to hold your resonance as a powerful adult, luminous, like being filled with incredible value and worthiness, and that you're worthy and that you're willing to be seen, all right? Willing to be seen there. And if you feel like you're not being seen and recognized at your work, do whatever you need to do to get seen. Maybe you need to go do a lecture series at a library or something, or facilitate a group or something. Step into some kind of leadership position, some kind of position where you are visible. Because right now what it looks like to us is that all this stuff is just kind of hiding away, because in your past, and in the recent past too, within the past 10 years, you've spent a lot of energy hiding. All right? And so you need to unhide. Now, this is a really good point you bring up, because a lot of people are hiding. In fact, most people hide. And visibility is scary for most people. And we know, Val, that visibility itself is not scary for you that much. You've learned how to be visible and be okay with it. But you need to use it now. You need to move your energies out more. You need to engage out energies out more. You need to send out more light, more power, more love, more juice, more whatever from this core that is continuously replenishing itself and becoming more. All right. So what seems to us is that you have a bit of, because of your habit, this is a subconscious habit of hiding, of taking a back seat, of being in the shadows. And you did this as a way to protect yourself so you wouldn't be attacked in the past. So you were trying to avoid conflict. You were trying to deal with the circumstances that were stressful around you at the time. And so this was the tactic that you took. And it worked pretty well. The thing is, it's ingrained in your habitual subconscious mind. So you're read by your energy field's read by the egregor as someone who's hiding. Right? So you have to turn your self-image around, your brand, your professional brand. How do you want people to see you? It seems that you don't really know yet. How do you want people to see you? What do you want people to see when they see you? What do you want people to feel when you speak to them, when you share with them something of yourself, right? And we sense that when you get yourself comfortable with this new level of visibility that is available to you, because on a spiritual level, you have grown so much that the hiding is a real limitation to you now. You've grown out of the box, but you keep, you know, you're subconsciously, by habit, sliding back into this little hiding. I'm not being seen. I'm not very, very visible. I'm invisible, and I can, you know, and that was your safety. But you are safe as a visible person now, and it's time to kind of claim that. Now, what we're sensing is that as you get your energy more consistently visible, your subconscious mind will finally get the idea, duh, you know, she's continuously deciding to be visible. She's continuously deciding to step up there and express her energy through just loving and sending meditative energies to the planet and deliberately doing concentrated, focused meditations of giving to others or whatever it is, or standing up in front of people and talking. You know, if you can do that physically, if you can stand up in front of people and talk, we sense that just by the act of doing that, or maybe organize a group and you're the facilitator, so you open every meeting, right? Or you become the president of a little group. It doesn't have to be a large group. It doesn't have to be a big influential group. It just needs to be somehow a group of people for you to step up in front of and speak. So create a group. Do something. Create a free group. right? And you stand up. But the point is for you to break through this habit of hiding. And when you can do that, then your energy starts getting out there. Then you can start doing the manifestation work. That we're gonna take you through the whole manifestation process in the next seminar, because once you have channels you can align channels to, then you can very, you know, then you can just put the manifestation thing going. So we're not going to talk to you about how to do that now, but what we're going to say is this too, is that the person that you were when you set up those channels originally, like the gold stocks, who were you at the time? And why did you go with that? And what was your idea? Did you do it with a gambling fever in your consciousness? Because if not, you've grown past that, and it has and that means it has an association of scarcity consciousness attached to those stocks. Okay? So that's why you can't move them, or you can't sell the house, or you can't or whatever. It's because somehow or another, you haven't grown and sustained that growth in your self-image, and that the original impetus, the original idea, came from a you that was much less than the you are now. So maybe you want to go to the you that initially got those gold stocks or got that house and thought, okay, we can sell the house or in the future or whatever it was. Go to the person who had the idea that set up that channel, okay, and work with her and heal her and lift her and expand her and give her the channel just like you would your inner child self. Just let it all work for her. Let her be totally free and abundant. Let her be happy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So that you can get the energy of that working. So you can feel the resonance of that channel open up. And then in another one of our seminars, we also did took you to the receiving room. And you opened the doors and allowed the energies to come in. So you may want to do a receiving room as well with that. But you want to really get clear who you were at the time that you set it up and what was your dream then, and clean that up and bring that up to date with who you are now. And then bring in your future self and see those channels fulfilled in your future, and step into that future, claim that future, and then you may want to, since you probably got the seminar we did on future self, then we'd suggest just go back to that meditation and do that meditation and focus on a channel each time. So you do the meditation for all the channels you've got. You just do one at a time. But first, do the process and get it cleaned up so that it's you, the you that you are now, cleaning up that, opening up that channel, okay? And that's how you kind of open up old channels. So any of you who have old channels or channels that are just kind of sitting there, there's potentials for money, but nothing's happening, we would recommend that you could do that and just clean up and heal and lift and shift the resonance of the self that you were that set that up so that as you make it present, then you can allow something to happen. And it also may be, and of course, as we said also, you may have had gambling fever when you did it, and you said, oh, this is going to make me rich, yay! That maybe you might want to just focus your energies elsewhere anyway and open up maybe a new channel or two. And just start going from where you are now and moving into a future rather than trying to get some sale, some big money deal that you don't at the present moment have the self-image up to snuff to be able to allow that, and you don't have the belief that it's possible, and you don't have the resonance holding for it. So go where the energy's flowing, flow your energy, and keep moving to the future. And some of these channels may just reopen. Some may not. They may just have been too much a channel opened by you during a time of tremendous scarcity consciousness, and you may not be able to get that consciousness back up. So you may have to rethink it or do something about it. But for the most part, you can open up some old channels. But if the channel is simply some kind of big deal where you get a big chunk of money and then there's no more channel, then those tend to fall into the gambling energy. And it takes more work in a sense on a consciousness level to shift to those to enable them to come back, because some of those are kind of outside the egregor's willingness. You know, it's like too close to lottery, too close to gambling. But if you can get your self-image into a really higher resonance, there is a chance that it could work around. And also if you want to sell a house, what you want to do is to do a green candle ritual, which we have on the website under resources. It's that first one, the green candle ritual. It's a money meditation, and we do recommend that, especially in real estate endeavors. Well, maybe your section of the city is not seeing the surge. It's not gentrifying at the rate the others are. But, you know, if the others nearby do it, it's just a matter of time, and it will do it too. You know, it will come. There's some benefits. There's some nice parts about the neighborhood. So just start dreaming it. Start imagining. Start seeing it in the future. Start seeing that you're going to get paid well for your place. So just keep working on that. But the key piece for you is to really own who you are and let your light shine and be visible. And that will enable a lot of opportunities for you to be seen. All right. Thank you.
So the next question dovetails right into it, because it has to do with figuring out when a channel is passé. So Sally says, I'm 82 years old. One of the things I love is sewing using old-fashioned techniques. I have made sewing patterns to sell using these techniques in the past, but stopped because not many others were interested. Should I explore doing this again or accept it as a done deal?
All right. Well, it does fit a very small niche as far as the collective is concerned. But it is a niche, and that means there are other people like you there. All right? So because there are other people like you, if you can somehow or another energize that niche in some interesting new twist or new way, that does not cost you a lot of money or anything, you might find that it could do something for you. And that is start some kind of online group that of people who have an interest in that, or somehow or another get on a some kind of in some kind of really big chat room or something like that to put it in there, get some information out there, play around with it. But just, you don't want to spend much money on it. However, you can imagine it and dream it to find the connections that you need so that you can get some. Now, it's a small niche, and you are aware of that, okay? So knowing that it is a small niche, then understand that it may never be a wealthy niche for you. but it could be a fun niche for you. So as long as you're having fun, we would suggest that you invite other people to play with you. Maybe not necessarily make money from them, but at least connect with other people who are doing things like that or having fun with that or like that kind of thing. And even if you only have a group of 15 or 20 around the nation or the world or whatever that tie in with you, we sense it could be you could find people in other parts of the world who are maybe not in the most technologically advanced sewing systems that like that old-fashioned kind of stuff. And they may be, you know, in a third world country, but, you know, so many people speak English, you might find it interesting there. So explore the internet. It could be kind of interesting for you to find groups that do this all around the place. And there are connections and people, so you don't want, these people don't want to be just left alone. They like to have that idea. So maybe you even volunteer it to some kind of organization that reaches out to like poor rural areas or a Native American reservation or something. You know, find groups that might want to know how to do simple sewing and work from there. And it would be fun for you, possibly, to meet these people and to explore relationships with these people. And then in the process, you can sell some of your patterns or teach some classes or something like that. So we would say that just because it's fun and you enjoy it, it's no reason to close it up just because you haven't been making much money with it. If you keep it open, there may be a little bit of money that comes in it, but you will still be having fun. And if you are too ill or too tired or you don't want to do it anymore, then, you know, close it, right? But explore. Who else on this planet is in my niche? You know, who are my people? What's my tribe? What's my sewing tribe? Where are you? And you might be surprised. Okay, so that's what we would suggest about that.
So from Jay, I'm liking this whole new viewpoint of relating with money. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please comment on how to deal with the old parts, such as the gambler fever aspect. Also, please comment on the idea of creating a whole money personality, incorporating all this new information that is a new gestalt. I'm thinking of it as being and giving it a name. Comment, please.
All right, okay. Okay. Well, we're glad you're liking this, and you like this whole idea of the of working with the egregor and so on. And we somehow or another we went to that second question, and we've forgotten the first question. What is that again?
The first question was how to deal with the gambling fever.
Oh yeah, that's okay. So we're going to start there. All right. Gambling fever is treacherous. It really is treacherous. It gets your hormones all up. You feel excited. You feel high. Wow, you feel powerful. It's thrilling. The future suddenly opens up. Ta-da! Choirs of angels sing. You know, it's gambling fever there is a connection to, there is a spiritual hit that comes in gambling fever. But the thing is that the spiritual connection is that idea of an incredibly miraculous, expansive, abundant, limitless, infinite future, right? And when you get a hit of that, it is addictive, right? So gambling fever will show up very often for people who do get into lots of different things. That gambling fever is often the lure that pulls one into a particular field of activity or a particular channel of income or business or something. And if you feel gambling fever, you need to be able to identify it, of course, first. But if you feel gambling fever about a new possibility, you've got to say no. And most people don't have the willpower to do that, because it's like, oh, this glorious, miraculous, lovely, oh, wow, this, ah, it's like love, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, it's like happiness and joy and ecstasy and love and so on. That it's going, you just don't get it when you feel that first juice of it, you know, you just don't get that it's going to turn sour. You just don't get it. You think that the doors of the future have opened to you. But if you can identify it, then you have to recognize this is a vision of a very high frequency of being. But if I go and do this thing because of the money, I am shooting myself in the foot. Probably more than the foot, shooting yourself in the heart, in a sense. You have to separate it out. You have to understand that people have addictive energies to money. That we referred to that in the first seminar, is that you have addictions, cravings, longings. You have approach avoidance with it. You crave it, need it. You hate it. Oh my gosh, I'm just so tired of it. You have everything in your relationship with money. But when you get gambling fever, you need to stop and say no. Do not go into any enterprise that you go into with gambling fever. Unless, and there's one exception. The exception is this is something that you've always wanted to do, or that your heart has told you that this is the path that you wanted to do, and then it opened up. And here was an actual physical way to do the path. But you see, when you have gambling fever, you are a sucker for good marketing. You're a sucker for con men. You have to be aware that you can get taken very easily with gambling fever. And the best con men know how to trigger gambling fever in you. It's even used politically, you know, to create passion and enthusiasm for a candidate, because there's this vision. And we're not saying that you don't go with a candidate, but the point is that when it comes to you personally making money on it, if you go for the money, if you have a money channel with this attached to it, that's dangerous. And you need to be able to be strong and say no. And you need to pull back until you are aware that you would have done this anyway, even if there wasn't money in it. That would be your test. And forgive yourself for all the times that you went with it. The channel and Daniel have lost lots of money because they went into gambling fever. It's like everybody that gets a little bit of money can find their money being wasted on gambling fever, and they can waste months and years trying to make careers work that once the gambling fever fades, they're stuck in the work. They can't make it work because they got in it for the money. They got it on an addictive energy. And when you get in on anything with gambling fever, the egregor does not bless you with that success. So then to look at the money identity, the money image. All right, looking at yourself, getting a self-image of yourself as a wealthy person we think is a very valid and useful thing. But to make a construct of itself and make it, in a sense, an archetype is dangerous because until you've cleaned yourself of all the cultural money-making mythologies, then once you codify a money image, if you don't clean it out, that money image is going to be contaminated. It's going to be contaminated with workaholism or some ideas about the workplace and business and what you have to do to make money and all the beliefs and all that kind of stuff that come from the collective. So we would not encourage you to try and make a new archetype or a new thought form until you are consciously clear and aware of the components that you're putting in that. Instead, what we would suggest is that you see yourself as a wealthy person and you act and come from and express yourself as a wealthy, prosperous person, as a wealthy, abundant person. And you do that. And the way you do that is you do it by essence. You don't do any, you don't play any ego images. You know, you don't show off your money. You don't go and put yourself into debt to get some fancy clothes or a fancy car or anything to impress anybody or anything like that. You stay out of ego. What you do, though, is that you imagine, like we said earlier, we suggested, imagine yourself living in a day in the future, being completely rich and prosperous, and just feel what it feels like. All right? Now, this is similar to imagining that you won the lottery, except that we want you to make it more three-dimensional for yourself. We want you to feel more about who you are rather than that sense of security, safety, security, that winning the lottery means for so many people. Okay, so what you do is you imagine yourself waking up in your bed and you just lie there with your eyes open in your bed in the future, maybe 2 years in the future or something. Make it a little ways away, but not too far. See your room. See this beautiful room, this bedroom. Are you sleeping with someone? Are you alone? Do you have a dog at your feet or cat at your feet? Or how is he? Do you know? And how luxurious is your bedroom? And what is it? How comfortable is it? How does it reflect who you are? Right. And then you just get up, and you stretch. And then you go and put on your slippers and go to the bathroom and maybe get dressed. And then you go and have breakfast. So what do you do? What does your kitchen look like? And sit down and eat your breakfast. What does a rich person eat as breakfast? What do you make as breakfast? All right? And you know you have plenty of money. You feel prosperous and abundant. You have no money worries whatsoever. And so you just want to just feel how it feels so natural, so expectant, so normal that you've just got plenty of money and you're going to be able to do just everything that you really want to today. You know, just feel that feeling, that really good feeling that there's work. You're going to work. But boy, do you enjoy it. It's fun and it's interesting. And boy, you're making so much money and you're having a really great time at it. And you're doing something that means something to you. More than the money, it means something. It's got something that's rich, enriching for yourself, fulfilling for yourself. It doesn't mean anything for your ego. It just means something for your spiritual essence, for who you are. It feels right and true and loving for you, that whatever that work is that you do. And just see yourself go through the day and who you talk with and who you are with and where you go, what do you do for lunch, where, you know, what does your office look like, what does your What does your car, what car you wear? Now, make sure that this is not your ego fantasy, okay? We want you just to feel the sense of natural, normal wealth and abundance within yourself. And you just go through the day. And then, you know, your work day is over, and so you're going to go out and play. What do you do? Where do you go? Or do you come home and you kick back and watch a good movie? Do you have friends over? What do you do? You know, what's fun? Just go through the whole day, and then you go to bed that night, and you just feel, just so satisfied. What a great day. And another day's ahead. Okay? So go through that in your imagination. Make it as realistic as possible. And once you do that, then when you wake up the next morning, see if you can put that self on, like you put your clothes on. Just put this magical, abundant, prosperous you on. Just when you, and you know, all of you, everyone listening, you know, this is a great technique because it enables you to keep expanding and keep your self-image expanded into the area of wealth and prosperity. So you just imagine yourself, even if you don't have any money, almost destitute, and so you're wearing hand-down clothes or you're wearing old clothes that you've worn for 20 years, put them on as if they are wonderful, rich, expensive clothes. You know, take good care of them. Stand in front of the mirror and shine your light and your value and your worth. And really own yourself as this is natural and normal for you to be this abundant, prosperous, wealthy person. Okay, so get the energy of it into your, embed it in your self-image and do it frequently. Really work at this so that you can consistently, when you forget, you start maybe getting some doubt or hesitation, or you worry about some money or you feel frustrated, or your slave driver comes in, and stop it all and just go back and remember, what does it feel like to feel safe, secure, wealthy, satisfied, fulfilled? What does that feel like? Just feel that safety, feel that security. Okay, because most people have, you know the chakra system, but most people have issues with their root chakra when they have issues with money. That's about survival. And so because you're constantly in debt as a culture, because money's made up and you're constantly trying to pay it back, right? Pay this illusion back to the bank that you have, there's always this sense of never enough. There's never enough. There's never enough. So give yourself that feeling of enough, that you have enough, that you're wealthy. And it's just natural. It's so normal for you. Okay. So if you can imbibe that in the way you live your life, then when you come up with new opportunities for new channels to explore or new job opportunities or something, you'll be able to get into a place of making good choices for yourself. Because if you make any decisions during gambling fever, as we've said, it doesn't work. So you want to make decisions about where you're going to put your energies, depending on if that is congruent with who you are. If it works for you, if the temperament works for you, if the material, the information that comes with that particular work fulfills you, it feels thrilling for you, you're desirous of it. If you can maintain your adult stature, your light being resonance, despite, if you're working for a company or for some boss or something who wants to control everything, you've got to hold your resonance up there. So just make sure that you get that resonance up. After a while, it will stick. And once it sticks, then you just have to tweak it and expand it from time to time. And it will attract to you. It'll allow you to be able to pull and draw stuff through those through your channels, or open up new channels for you. You'll be able to open up new channels. And you'll be doing that with the manifestation techniques we'll be covering in the next seminar. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a longer question. On January 11th, 2018, I created an abundance grid for myself. I wrote the amount in that I was willing and able to receive, $250,000. I felt the energy and the power of my choice. I was excited about receiving and anxious to know where it would come from. Now I have to scroll down the page to continue. Just a second. An old friend and lover passed on May 31st, 2019, and through his attorney I found out that he left me $250,000. But the attorney says I can't have it for 1 to 2 years. Hmm. The friend had rewritten his will on January 11th.
Ha!
I don't want money to come to me through someone else's death. Now, I'm rather scared to program for money for myself. My mother passed in November, and the same thing happened. I'm unable to receive my inheritance because of the legal technicalities that go with death. How do I proceed? Thank you.
Well, first of all, you have demonstrated that you have a tremendous capacity for magic, and we congratulate you on that front, okay? That's fantastic. That's awesome. January 11th, you programmed. He wrote the will and put it in there in place for you. Fantastic. All right. Now, when you ask for the money, you did not ask for death. You did not say, "I want this money no matter what happens to whoever." You didn't intend that. Okay. You know, people are going to die. This guy was going to die. Anyway, your mother's going to die. Okay. So we would say that your programming for money does not necessarily implicate death. You just had a channel open for inheritance. And that's fantastic that you got a channel for inheritance. Well, if you're going to inherit, if you're going to have an inheritance channel open, it generally requires death for you to get it, okay? You generally don't inherit it while they're still alive, right? So we congratulate you on having an inheritance channel, right? And it shows that that channel is open. So, you know, don't worry about it. Maybe there's somebody else who's preparing to die who will give you money in their will. It's not your fault that they died, okay? Don't take that on yourself. Don't start getting scared that somehow or another you're to blame for their death. Absolutely not. It's a matter of convenience that has been put together on the other side. In other words, the guy who died, who left you $250,000, it worked conveniently for him, for his agenda, and it works for your agenda. Okay? And your mother would die anyway. It's like, but it just, that's just coordinated that way. So don't take it personally that somehow you are at fault or you're to blame or there's something wrong with your programming or that you shouldn't be programming for money. You've got inheritance channels open. If it requires the person's death, just know that it's coordinated on the other side. Is there anybody else you know that you could inherit money from? Maybe that might make you of concern. But when you asked for the money, you didn't specify what channel it was going to come through. The only channel that seemed to be open for you was inheritance. And even that channel has delays in it. Why does it have delays in it? Because you're feeling guilty and you're not feeling that you can absolutely receive it. You don't feel deserving of it. You feel something's wrong with it. You feel that tragedy has marred it somehow and that it's your fault. You got to let go of that. That is just subconscious yada 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 yama yama yama. That's old good girl training crap, where girls are trained to take the responsibility and blame for anything happening. It's not your fault, okay? So just recognize that if you're asking for money and there's somebody else who might give you some money in an inheritance, that it might be having to coordinate with them. It's like this guy, he wrote it in his will, but he didn't die on January 11th. He died maybe the following year or so. And so it was a matter of convenience when he chose to die. It wasn't like he set it up on that January 11th, 2018. Okay, now I'm going to die. Let me hurry up and die. No. This is convenient. This is going to align just right in timing, and this is the amount I sense that it's a right to give. And when I die, then that'll work. So understand, it's being coordinated and arranged, right? If you don't have anybody else who would give you money upon their death, then you probably have nothing to worry about, as far as you're not killing people anyway to get their money. So don't feel anything about that that is negative. Just celebrate and be grateful that you did have inheritance channels open. Now, focus on putting together some other channels. Let some other channels open up. Start playing around with your creativity and letting something else happen. You know, start working with what else are you going to give? Because inheritance channels are a lot about receiving. And you're having a tough time receiving, so there's a lot of delay. But don't worry about it. If you start fretting about it, it's going to drag it out longer. Okay, get in peace with all the people that are involved in the estates. Come to terms with them, be at peace with them, get into harmony with yourself, and then open up new channels. All right? Thank you.
So I don't know who this is. We only have the initials DS.
All right.
I've been trading options and Forex for 45 years. I've personally learned from the best that are the major business networks. We take trades at the same time, at the same mark. They win, I lose. I constantly lose almost every trade when most of the people I work with do great.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, well. Well, we're glad that you took this seminar, DS. We are very glad about that, because we addressed the very thing that's missing here. Those people won their trades, got good trades, made money, because number one, they were worthy. Number two, they're willing. There's a self-image problem in you. And you are, in a sense, perceiving yourself as being part of a successful group, but you're kind of the black sheep of the group. This is an identity of yours that goes back to your adolescence. So you probably need to work with your inner adolescent self, with his relationship to the peers. It's also, as regards to money, it's your relationship with your Gregor. How are those other people? They're the best, as you said. Oh, man, they are really tops. And our Gregor loves them. They make trades at work. But dear Gregor doesn't like you. You do the same trades at the same time. You jump out on the same point. But somehow or another, it doesn't come through for you. All right? The Gregor doesn't like you for some reason. You need to be a favorite of the egregor. You need to have a better relationship with the collective. Okay? You're not some kick of all these great, fabulous traders. You're your own person. right? And you need to step up into your adult, because there's a part of you that still sees you as a student, still sees you as like, okay, I'm with them and they're successful, so I'm on their coattails somewhat. You started out that way, that you're just going to ride to the top on their coattails. Well, there's part of you still there, and that doesn't work. You know to make the trades at the same point at the same time. You got the system. Now you need to deserve it. You need to own it. You're not entitled to it. You did not earn it. You're receiving it. You have to be able to be willing to receive. Well, we're going to get way more into receiving in the next seminar, but receiving from the egregor requires that you show the egregor your value. And you're not like collateral to these other people. You are you, right? So what this has done is created you as being the outsider energetically. Even that you try really hard to be in the in-group, but you're the outsider, okay? You need to be in the in-group of you. You need to have a good relationship to the egregor. So we would definitely recommend that you would do Seminar 1's meditation multiple times so that you can just keep getting there, keep getting there, keep getting there. We're also going to get you there today as well. Right, we've got a nice juicy pump up for you, to open up your channels and to get you aligned with the egregor for receiving. But you've got to own your self image. You've got to pump your self image into not your ego, okay? And that's where you kind of went off, because there's a part of you that wanted to have what you perceived as their egos. You wanted to be part of this hot group. You wanted these successful people, but your ego sabotaged you here. So you want to get the ego out of it. You're not doing this strictly for the money, but see it as an experiment, a magic experiment that is fun and interesting and intriguing. And if you can kind of shift out of that, you can get some of this charge out, and you can get some of this not belonging energy out of your system and get yourself in a good relationship with your egregor. So that's what we would recommend, the image workshop, doing this, the money seminar number 1, and multiple times meditation, and really allowing yourself to get out of ego and get out of any negative motivation and clean out the contamination that is there from the beginning when you started working with them, when you were the student, okay? And to get the student consciousness out of you and get your relationship to them as an equal, okay? We talked about that earlier, going to the younger self, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we would suggest there. All right, thank you.
Final question. My passion is to share the tools that I've used myself to become the version of myself that could finally leave a domestic violence life behind me, at least some of the 40 million women who are currently living that life. What I find, and probably what my own subconscious believes, is that there is no money to be made doing that. Shelters want me to give them my work for free, and victims who have left their abusers tend not to have any money. I know I can make a difference with this, and I need an income too. I don't know how to go about both. I have a full-time job that I have no passion for, and I'd love to let go of it and move forward in my passion, but I've done that before and was unsuccessful because of there's no money there thing. And this is from Sandra Daly.
All right. Okay. Okay, we're just doing a little scan here. Okay. All right. So what we're seeing here is, and this is a common concern, is that what I feel my passion is in an area that just doesn't seem to provide any money. All right, here's what we would recommend. You know, the shelters would like for you to do your service for free. The poor abused people, poor abused women that have left their abusers and they're broke and destitute, they're desperate, they're miserable. I would love to help them and I can help them, but they have nothing to give me. Well, what we're seeing here is this. Earlier we talked about if you don't have any passion for the channel that is currently giving you money, then you must focus on the parts of that work that are at least the most interesting of all the parts. There's like all lots of different pieces in your job and so on. So focus on the pieces that are the least distasteful, the ones that are the most easy for you to do. Just focus on that. And even if over half your time is doing stuff that is really just mind-numbing boring, just remember that there will be a time when you will do the part that is a little bit better, that is a little more interesting. Be grateful that you have the job. We're certain that you've already been practicing this. And really get yourself into your grander, your greater self. Okay? Really get your self-image expanded. Enhance your value, because what you're discovering is that you're getting down into the ditch with them. These are people who are down in the pits. But you just want to go down in the pits and to pull them out. No, you don't. You stand up here and you say, come. Come up here. Up here. This is where you go. And so energetically, you shrink too much. And when you shrink, then you don't show your value. So the egregor doesn't recognize you. All right. So show your value at the job that you have, even if it won't make you an additional dollar whatsoever. Even if it doesn't make you on any better terms with your boss or whoever, but work on creating a sense of value. You have value, and you are worthy of success, right? Start working on that. Get your self-image up. If you have difficulty, then we would recommend doing our seminar on self-image. That is the most critical piece, and that's why we, you know, did that the first thing. You know, we wanted people to get the self-image. That's so, so critical, okay? So get that self-image up. Even if you're in mind-numbing circumstances, you practice your magic by getting your image up, by bringing the energy of the divine into you, spreading your heart energy through the office, to spreading your love energy into the world and sending love to all those suffering women as you're doing these mind-numbing, boring things. Get yourself to that next level energetically, in other words, okay? Now, that's number one. Number two, then go and do give some of your services for free at a shelter here and there. You know, don't commit yourself to a lot of time. You don't have a lot of time. You already are working a full-time job. So just a little bit here or there. Just go and maybe go to a shelter and just gather some of the women together and talk to them. Just do a little group discussion. Just a little support group or something occasionally. Just offer that, okay? And it's for free. Don't think for a moment that it's just going to indefinitely, forever and ever and ever be free. Okay? The reason we suggest that you do that, it's like when we were talking about seeding, we said volunteer in the area that you want. and this is no small thing, if you volunteer in the area that you want to be in, which would be go to the shelter or to talk to some of these destitute women, we would suggest that you go there as the authority, as the light, as the compassionate healer teacher, right? And you go there and you love and you teach and you share yourself. Now, be fully there. Really, really do it. And then when you come back home after you've done a session, you sit down and you think about what went on. What went on that is so, you know, the question that they asked or what I needed to work with them on. This is so important. This every one of these battered women needs to hear this. So write it down. Right, make notes. Write down. This is one of the important pieces. And do a few of these sessions, and even individuals. Do some individuals. Work with some people. If you can do a small kind of support group where they can see others have the same concerns and questions, and they can support each other, and everybody can have a group hug and all that kind of thing. If you can do something like that, after a few times of this, you're going to see the structure of a program. You probably already know it right now, but what we're seeing is that you get the examples from your experience. You say, okay, you know, Rosie had this, blah, 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 and so on. And so we took her through this process, and we talked about this. She needed to know this. Okay, so we write this down, right? And, you know, you don't know sometimes when you give advice or something, if they even take it or if they don't take it, and if they do take it, what difference it makes in their lives or not. That should not be that much concern to you, because you may not be able to follow up on people. So what we would suggest is that you just take notes and you do something over a couple of months or so. Just do some of these sessions and just take notes and take notes and take notes, and then you put together a seminar with these topics, with these important pieces, with the examples. Okay? Now, from there, we would suggest that there's all sorts of resources available for you to talk to people. Yeah, it needs to be done at the shelters. Yeah, it needs to be done with people individually. But there are foundations. There can be movements. There can be government programs. There can be, wealthy, compassionate people who are making a splash. Or you could actually go and start a group. You could start. You could say, you could call it something. You could start fundraising. Now, you may say, oh, I don't have the temperament to do fundraising. I just want to help these people. But the thing is that you're seeing a whole social vision. And because you're seeing a vision of a great nature, because there's, oh, gosh, there's hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of women who need this, okay, that you're looking at a kind of a large scope here. So if you could dream what this could be, thinking of all the ways that it could come together in society, not just for your small self, not that the shelter would pay you, or that somehow you'd be employed like a social worker to counsel some women. Not on that level, no. Start thinking, what if there was some kind of larger organization that worked this way? How would it function? How would I see myself participating in this? What kind of work would I do? Would I lead seminars? Would I do private sessions? Would I do groups? What form would you prefer to do? Maybe you can find somebody. If you're not a writer yourself and you don't like to write, then find somebody, record a whole, make a seminar up, record it, and then have it transcribed. And it's very inexpensive. And then from there, put an article out. Call people. Look, talk to organizations. You know, who's doing this? Who's addressing this issue? And you might be surprised that there might be people saying, oh, your article really strikes and resonates within me, strikes me, and I want to participate. I want to help. How can I help? Maybe it's up to you to dream this organization in place. Maybe there already is one that you can just step in and be a really important member of it. But you see, you're not dreaming large enough here. You're looking at, oh, I want to survive. I want to make enough money to survive. You got to think a little bigger than that because your dream's bigger. And you got to get your self-image bigger too. And stand out like with Val earlier into more greater visibility. Okay, it's time for you to become more visible. It's time for you to hold the resonance of your power, of your value, of your worthiness and your willingness so that the egregor will say, oh, okay, here's someone who has a vision, who's giving something of great value. Let's find the resource for her. Okay? You could do it. But you have to get out of your small self and start thinking of yourself in a bigger way, because it looks to us like you've got a bigger future ahead of you than you were thinking. You were thinking of a safe, secure future, you know, a future doing something good and making a viable living. No, it seems like it might be a bit bigger than that, okay? All right, dear one, we wish you the very best. There can be some great magical adventures ahead for you. All right. Thank you. And thank all of you for asking such wonderful, amazing, in-depth questions.